25, unless you've read your bulletin closely. You can't do 28 to 25. It doesn't work that way. But, you know, sometimes demons get in the computers and put the wrong numbers in the wrong place. So, despite all of our proofreading efforts, but since some of you have pointed that out to me already today, and I'm the proofreader. So, anyway, oh well. Names. How about Jamie, Leslie, Sandy? When I say those names, do you think of a girl or a boy? Yes, you would, and you should. Anyway, but you know what? I've known girls and boys by those names. Girls and boys by those names. I live with my favorite Jamie of all times, of course. And they're names that can be used for girls and boys because they've both had them. I've probably known more male Leslies in my life than I've known female Leslies in my life. Some of that's because some of them are part of the Knox clan. So we know those. Now, if I say the name Kelsey, K-E-L-S-I-E, do you think that was a boy or a girl? Most would think that's probably a girl. Now, if you see K-E-L-S-E-Y, you would maybe think that is a boy instead. Part of that's made popular by the actor Kelsey Grammer. Opens the possibility of that name being a boy's name, not to mention we've known a boy over the years named Kelsey. Now, there was another Kelsey whose name was spelt with an I-E instead of an E-Y, Dr. Kelsey Harder. This is a picture of Dr. Harder in his later years of life. He really made a name for himself as an onomastician. Anybody know what that is? An onomastician is an expert in names. Who pays great attention to names, and so he was an onomastician, a student of names and their origin. He received his name from his parents because they wanted to name him something different, which can often be the kiss of death to a child in the torment and that you find in elementary school because your parents wanted to name you something different, especially when your sister's name is Elsie and so they just add a K to it for your name in your Kelsey. And he had to spend a lot of time being bullied by the older kids about having a girl name and spent lots of times when people would hear his name explaining that he was not a girl. That happens to others who receive other names that girls often receive. Valerie's dad's name was Holland, H-O-L-L-A-N, but all of his life he was called Holly. Occasionally mail came to their house addressed to Miss Holly Bird. It went in the trash can because it was obvious they didn't know him at all or know who he was, so they just threw it away. Dr. Kelsey Harder was interviewed in 1987 in the Post Standard of Syracuse, New York. And he said this, "We are at the mercy of our name givers." He went on to say, "These things influence us for the rest of our lives and we have nothing to do with it." Now his name certainly influenced him. He became a professor of English and the author of two books on baby names. Maybe you've read some of his books on baby names. And in those books, let me tell you, he encouraged parents to give their children's names that did not set them up for problems. Good advice. More people should heed that. Anyway, and he wrote and edited material about the names of people and places, and he presided over the American Name Society. Names are important. Having your name is important. It's interesting in my role, a lot of people ask me, well, what do we call you? You know, pastor, reverend, doctor, to many I say, well, my parents named me Martin, and that works. That's sufficient. And that's not enough for many of you, and certainly not for your children. So Pastor Martin, is fine. Somebody asked about doctor. Well, that's okay too. I earned that. But Pastor Martin is great. A lot of names we have. I like names that I have. Martin, son. Those names parents give my dad for years. Hey guy, my name's not Guy. I'm not just any guy. I'm his son, but it's a name from him. It's a greeting in many regards from him to me and to my brother. He gets it as well. I'm rather fond of the name Dad, Daddy. All of those names. Names are important. The naming of a child is certainly important. What do you name your children? We had four opportunities to do that. We thought long and hard about those, and what were we going to name them? And in the scriptures, we find that the giving of a name is important, and it's focused on much of the time. A boy named Jesus, found in Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. If you need a pew Bible, you'll find it on page 625. 625. Let me ask you to stand as we read from God's Word this morning. Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord, and you may be seated. In our text, we find two names that Joseph, the father, was to give to the name of the baby. That was his job. And so Joseph gets to name the baby. First of all, we have Jesus. God is salvation. Now, there's something you need to know about the name Jesus, is that it's a common name. It was like Bob in his day and time. Or for Tanner and McKenzie and Patrick and seventh graders at John Adams, it was like Ben. Tanner and McKenzie come home, well, my friend Ben. Now, not that friend, this friend. I think there's 10 or 15 of them in the seventh grade. I don't know. And they don't know all of them, I'm pretty sure. So it's just the way it goes. Jesus was a common name. In Colossians 4, verse 11, you find another Jesus. Interestingly, they called him Justice instead of Jesus. Josephus, the first century Jewish historian, mentions no fewer than 20 different men by the name of Jesus. Now, we don't think about that because we don't typically give children the name of Jesus. It's certainly not in an Anglo culture, more so in a Hispanic culture that comes out, but not here. Jesus was a common name that was given. Now, Jesus' name often came with some other modifiers. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the son of Joseph, Jesus the son of David, in reference to his ancestry. Now, it's a meaningful name even though it's a common name. Because it means God is salvation. The angel gives a hint at the meaning of the name. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. He's going to save his people. How wonderful that is. What an incredible name to give to this one. But other people had been giving it. Now, they were good Jews. They were all hopeful for the anticipation of the Savior in part. And that God was their Savior and they were celebrating that. But to look upon this baby born into your home to your family and you're going to name Him Jesus because He is God's salvation for God's people. Wow, what an incredible meaning to His name. That powerful name of Jesus, where the Scriptures will tell us later, there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved than the name of Jesus. None other name works. No other name brings salvation to you or to your life at all. Jesus' name is it. But it also promises to us that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That everyone who would call upon His name would be saved. And how wonderful that is as well. But He also gives, we also find another name here, Emmanuel. God is with us. It's a fulfillment of a prophecy in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 7:14, He declared a son to be born who would be named Emmanuel. Matthew looked upon this and saw it as the prophecy, and that it was the fulfillment found in Jesus Christ. God is salvation, but to be our salvation, He became as well Emmanuel, God who would be with us. And John writes about that when he describes that Jesus is the one God who put on flesh and dwelled among us. I love the Message translation that He put on flesh and He moved into the neighborhood and He lives in your neighborhood and my neighborhood. And He lived here with us and that we might behold the glory of God. It's the fulfillment of God's promise to us and of God's presence. That promise of God's presence. The one who saves is coming to be with us. That anticipation, even again of this week. This week as we move toward Christmas Day and all of the excitement and all of the joy, even for a 46-year-old on Christmas Day. The excitement that's different than when I was six. Oh yeah, I remember the anticipation of being six, hopeful that there would be snow on the ground and in Wichita Falls, Texas. Occasionally that might would happen and hopeful here now the expectation, yes, there's going to be snow on the ground and I'm thankful some of you moan. Get over your moaning. That's there. But you know what? It's the excitement, the anticipation that my loving and gracious wife and my gracious kids want to spend Christmas Day with my parents and they'll be here late tonight. I go to pick them up so the snow can wait till tomorrow. But I go pick them up from the airport this evening. The anticipation that comes of Christmas Day, of being a dad who gives gifts to his children, hoping they're pleased, hoping they're excited. It's different, but that anticipation, that reminder, that the Savior is born. As I read one of my devotional books this morning, I was challenged to take some time this week to set somewhere in some quiet and ponder the fact that the Savior is born. I plan to do that this week. You know, sometimes it's hard to do. Company comes in. The routine of your home is disrupted. It's late in the year. Your body is tired. You're ready for some rest. Where do you carve out some time for some silence and some quiet? It's hard. It's hard at my house. It's hard for me. Perhaps it's hard for you as well, but I challenge you. Find some time this week, day by day, to carve out some time to be alone with the Lord. The one, and ponder the fact that Jesus Christ came to be with us. God would choose to come and be with us. Yes, pure, holy, undefiled God with us. We, impure, unholy, very defiled, every last one of us. But yet God came to be with us in the form of Jesus, a baby. God's presence with us as a baby. Oh, how precious are babies. Small, needy, helpless, beautiful, full of wonder. So God sent a baby who would be in need of everything Mary and Joseph could provide for him. Excuse me, and do for him. God sent a baby, pure and undefiled and holy. God sent a baby to save the world. God sent a baby to be with us. God sent a baby to be His presence here, an innocent baby. This week, one day, driving around listening to the radio, I heard a song. I didn't get to hear the name of the song, and I don't know who sang it. It was on one of the Christian radio stations. But it struck me. It was sung from the perspective of Mary. And there was a line in it where she sang about the fact that He was the Creator of her, but yet she now held Him in her arms. All that struck me. Ah, the Creator of the world, Your Creator. But He could be held in the arms of His mama. So God sent that one to be with us, to be with you. Not just to be with you, but to be with you so that He can be your Savior. What does that mean for us, though? What is the meaning of all of that for us? One, it means that God created us for connection with Him. God created us to have a connection with Him. That Jesus saves. And because Jesus saves, Jesus desires a relationship with us. Connection. Relationship. The Gerritsons gathered in New Jersey for the wedding of the oldest son. The Jersey community was not far from New York City as the crow flies, but in terms of ground transportation, it took a while to get around to where they were going to be. The first event of the weekend of the wedding was to be a dinner for the family and friends at a local restaurant. And Rachel, the sister of the groom, lived in Boston and took a bus to New York City. And she was to take the train right into the New Jersey town to meet with the family. But once she got to New York City and discovered that there was a fire at one of the stations along the way. And so they called a friend who lived in the area and knew it all very well and said, well, gave instruction to Rachel to go to a different station and he would be there with his car to pick her up. And just as Jesus described to them of where she should go, He was there to pick her up. And then when He arrived in front of the restaurant with His car and Rachel, the sister, the daughter, and the family there, someone, of course, commented, Jesus saves. And everyone got a pretty good chuckle. Jesus was the name of the friend. Jesus saves. That's what it means. Jesus saves. We can be saved. Any person who's willing to believe in their heart and confess with their mouth can be saved. Anyone. None are excluded who will believe in their heart and confess with their mouth. No one is beyond God's ability to save them. If you've never been saved, I offer to you the most precious Christmas gift I can offer to you, and that is Jesus to be your Savior. That if you confess your sin and you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, asking Jesus to save you, He will. That's what the promise of Scripture says to us. It's what the reality of millions upon millions of believers shares with us as well. In our story I just told you about Rachel, the groom, the sister of the groom, the friend of the groom named Jesus got the sister from where she was to where she needed to be. The wonderful thing about Jesus as Savior is He meets you where you are and He'll move you to where He needs you to be. He doesn't expect you to get there on your own. He knows the way. The fact that we are separated from God by our sin and that we are out of communication and communion with God, that's not a problem for Him. He can span that gap and He can reach into your life and then ultimately move you to where He wants you to be, for Jesus is your salvation if you come to Him. But Jesus' symbolic name of Emmanuel has some special meaning for us as well. It's that God is with us. God is with you. Isn't that wonderful? God is with you. Edward Snowden, in his leaking of information about the National Security Administration, has taught us this year that our federal government can seemingly be everywhere as well. We most likely like knowing that God is everywhere, but we do not like the government seeming to be everywhere and being uncertain of just exactly where are they and what are they doing and where are they not. God being everywhere is comforting. God being with us on a lonely night. God being with a homeless man on a cold winter night. God being with an orphan wishing for a family. Much like the orphan who put a Craigslist ad out for a family for Christmas. The government being everywhere is, well, as my kids would say, creepy. That's not what we expect from the government. What do they know about us? What emails do they have? What phone calls have they overheard? Unnerving, isn't it? But yet the thought of God being present everywhere is comforting. What is most comforting is not God being everywhere, perhaps, but the fact that God is with you. That even though God can be everywhere, the personal relationship with God that means that God is with you is comforting. No matter what you're doing, no matter what He's called upon you to do, no matter what He's asked of you to do, He doesn't ask you to do it alone. He is with you. Jesus' symbolic name, Emmanuel, isn't so much about the fact that He is everywhere, but rather about the fact that He is here, with us, where we are. For it means that we get to be in the presence of God. And how wonderful that is for us. The names of Jesus tell us that He is present with us. He is present with us. And that He saves. Excuse me. So the question is Jesus your Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, you can invite Him into your heart and in your life today. And I would encourage you to do that. I can't think of a finer Christmas for you than to meet the Savior, to meet the one born at that stable in Bethlehem. Oh, what a great thing. I offer Jesus to you. I encourage you to receive Jesus as your Savior. If so, well, it means this. It means that you have a new name. Christian. Name given to followers of Christ, a Christian. Now, I have to admit, occasionally I have some trouble with the name Christian nowadays because there are a lot of people who say, well, those folks are Christians, and they label them as a group, and sometimes it's hard to have group labeling. Maybe sometimes a better term is Christ follower. Are you really a follower of Jesus Christ and what He teaches us from His Word? We have had a firestorm of an example of that this week. Unless you've been under a rock somewhere, or you never pay attention to the news, You cannot have missed out on the firestorm that surrounds Phil, head of the Duck Commander family. Oh, they've made a TV show about him, but I thought it was interesting, and the material I've read, somebody wrote a brief story about the fact that the Duck Dynasty show was not the show A&E intended it to be. It was the TV show that got away from them. It was the TV show that they started really hoping everybody would make fun of and laugh at these folks from the backwoods of Louisiana to show what a group of buffoons they were who ran around in the woods hunting ducks and actually believed the Bible and in a Savior. The problem was is there were just way too many people who identified with them and wanted to be like them. And as the author said, even though A&E wanted to make fun of them even more, they loved the money they made them. Until they really espoused something that pushed them over the line. Why? Why would he espouse that homosexuality is wrong? Because everybody can believe it's... We have to be tolerant of everybody who believes that it's acceptable. But nobody wants to be tolerant of those of us who don't. And it will test whether you really are a Christ follower or not. His name Jesus means God is salvation. His name, the other name we find in this text, Emmanuel, is that God is with us. And if you really believe Jesus is Savior, it means you're going to allow Jesus to change your life. But He changes your life to be like His life. But He doesn't leave you alone to live it that way by yourself. He is with you to live it that way. In all the boldness and with all the courage and with all the faithfulness to Him it demands. If you don't know Jesus, I invite you to give your life to Jesus. If you have given your life to Jesus, you have a new name. The common name we give to all of us is Christian. My challenge for you this week as you reflect upon a Savior born to you is this. Would you also reflect on whether your name fits your character? A character that's to look like the character of Christ.